Perek Yud, page Kuf Lamed. Me'ata brocha v'avre chosid. Terem shenoysi v'dabe v'terem nas chilizkar v'yoysi l'nyonim ha'yoysi m'raymim ha'shebech siyuz t'fimatz aveinu. The Rebbe says that before I begin to discuss those higher and more exalted in Yonim and Chassidus, the Rebbe says, let's try to put together what I've been saying until now, just to go over a little bit. And what's the sahakol? What's the sum total of what we've been talking about? Hein b'chol perek b'chol mayim b'lo b'kashm b'chagadaylus. The Rebbe says that. Levi says that you've seen that throughout all of the prakim and all of the mamorim, I never asked of you, I never demanded something that was very, very difficult. Levi kashtamim chagadolos, I didn't ask you for some great things. I didn't talk about any type of a person being involved in any kinds of sigufa, meaning of tormenting yourself or depriving yourself. I didn't talk about fasting. And even when we were talking about the times when the Yitzhahara is very, very strong with the Yitzhahara, with the feeling of a taiva. I didn't talk to you about banging your head against the wall to try to drive this out of you, that maybe we should have to do. I feel a bit tired, shall have to, even a tiber for something that's permitted. I didn't talk to you at all about making any great step, of taking any great step, Bishari Sha'ol Chasasholom, into the gateways of Gehenna. Akima Kima Bikashmim Chabachal Dorbachal Inni. The entire Mahalach has been Kima Kima, which means little by little, just a little bit. Bachal Dorbach and everything of Bachal Inyin. Kinjoin Shetachshu Batachshu is Machshav the Chabadivay Tanach Majosh Svagod. This is what we were learning earlier. The Rebbe's chazering over a little bit. We spoke about trying to expand your way of thinking when you're learning Tanakh and when you're learning Medrash, how to learn something in Tanakh, how to learn something in Medrash. Remember we spoke that was way back by Pesach, and how to try to envision and to enter into the Psukim in Tanakh, and to enter into the Chazals, and to really feel that you're a part of them, and so on. Sifrei Tzadik Mechsidim Shataloi made, and we spoke about how to learn the Svar Makedoshim with his Pilus and so on. B'shoshot Misragish Me'atzol Chabekdusha Teracher V'svagshuscha Machshavois V'svagshius Ahave V'yir. We spoke about at the time when you are feeling on your own certain Hergish of Kedusha, how to expand and how to intensify these feelings of Ahave in your. We spoke about times when there is swagshis of taiva, or there's just a stream of thoughts that are confusing you. We spoke about ways to stand aside and to be apart from those machshavas, and to look at them from the side, and to cause them to melt away and to disappear. And everything was discussed in an easy way, in a simple way. In an easy way, where the person's soul is can naturally desire such a way, it can be drawn after doing things in such a way. Of a ma'asach hakol mizeh. The Rebbe says, but Lamaisa, what is the sahakol? What is the sum total of all that we've learned? im rak tishma v'tachnis advarim bekir b'cha. He says, Lamaisa, what's going to come? What's the sahar call? If you hear what we're learning, if you hear what I'm saying, and you bring all of these things mamish inside of you, so what's going to be the sahar call? Reishis call, to begin with, machshavisacha leitiyena hefkeris lekol machshava habolcha. The first thing is, and only a person who's tried this and works on this knows how wonderful that is, that first of all, for the first time in your life, your thoughts are not going to be hefker. It's not going to be open territory for any machshava that comes into your brain, that is just anything that happens to pop into your head. Your mind is not going to be, your thoughts are not going to be in a state of hefkeris. L'kol machshava b'obacha. V'aktomid tiyena tshudais v'asukais. The machshavas kedoshais v'shachbacha v'kumecha v'ledcha v'derech. But your mind will always be preoccupied with thoughts of kedusha when you're lying down in bed and when you get up and when you're busy through the day. Your mind will be filled with thoughts of kedusha. The Kotzka Susan used to say that by me, it's not such a big inyan. Hihure Aveira and Hihure Tshuva, he said, by my chassidim, by my followers, that they think of Tshuva, they think of Aveira. He says, I want to have chassidim who are so busy they don't have time to do Aveira. That's what he said. They're so busy, there's no time for an Aveira. It's a musig of a person whose mind is busy with good things, with important things. Which the Rambam talks about also, really, it's almost exactly what the Rambam is saying. When the Rambam says that only a mind that's empty of thoughts of chachma, only such a person whose mind is empty, so then that mind that is empty can become a place where all types of strange machshavas enter, all types of strange machshavas are able to breed in the empty mind. But when a person's mind is filled with good things and thoughts of kedusha and so on, and positive thoughts, that's what it means. It's by Yosef HaTzadik, it says, they threw him into the pit last Shabbos, right? So, v'habor reik ein b'mai. It was an empty pit. There was no water in it. In Chassidus, that means that v'habor reik ein b'mai, everybody knows the Gemara says, ein b'mayim ela tayra. When a person's mind is a bor rake, when a person is thrown into a certain way of life and a certain way of living, where he's like a bor rake, he's an empty pit, ein boi maim, without Torah, without machshavas of kedusha. So in Mela, what does Rashi say? Mayim ein boi, no? The choshev akravim yesh boi. So in Mela, a person's mind is a pit that doesn't have any water of Torah in it. It's an empty pit. So then it's not going to remain empty. It can't remain empty. The mind of a person doesn't remain empty. So ma'im ein bo. So memela nechoshim makrav miyeshba. So memela there are all kinds of snakes and scorpions, which means terribly destructive, negative thoughts and feelings and desires and taivas, all kinds of mashavas naturally enter into the mind that has no ma'im, that's like an empty pit without water. The greatness of Yosef HaTzadik is that when he was thrown into that place, it didn't harm him. He was able to overcome that. That's the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik. It's in Shmir Sabris and Shmir Samachshava. Yosef HaTzadik is the successful student of the Hachshavas HaReichim. So because Yosef HaTzadik was able to hold himself in that place, V'habor reik ein b'mayim, nechoshim v'akravim yesh b'y, so Yosef HaTzadik is the one who interprets dreams. Yosef HaTzadik is the one who's able to make, what does it mean to interpret a dream? It means to be able to make seder of very, very strange machshavas, to put them into order and to understand what's real and what's not real. That's why Yosef HaTzadik was so great in interpreting dreams. To make a seder out of the unreal things that tried to take over a person, he was able to make a seder out of all of it and to interpret and to overcome. Therefore, Yosef HaTzadik wasn't wasn't hurt in the pit, and he wasn't destroyed. He wasn't affected by what others are destroyed by, which is habor reik ein b'mayim l'choshen hakrav yesh. But Yosef HaTzadik means that a person is misgaber to fill himself with positive thoughts, even when he's going through a difficult time. And the world is trying to bring him into a habor reik she'ein b'mayim, and there should be nechashim v'akravim. But the tzaddik is able to strengthen himself and to fill his mind with positive machshavas, so that the nechashim and akravim are not able to get to him, are not able to hurt him. But that's what it is. And if a person doesn't think about strong good things, and his mind's not busy with kedusha, so mimela. There's the other machshavas, other type of machshavas come into his head. As the Rebbe is saying, it's like Tamid Tiana Chudas Vasukas Machshavas Kedosha B'Shachlachov Kamecha V'Lechcha B'Derech, that the mind will always be busy and occupied with good thoughts of Kedusha all the time. V'Gam Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach Te'asa L'Ish Misragesh. We spoke about also how a person can become an Ish Misragesh, and one's Avodas Hashem, that there should be more Misragshes. That your love and fear of Hashem is not just something that is theoretical in your mind. But there'll be his sragshus and his spilus and mahavas Hashem from years Hashem. And then eventually on your own, you'll begin to feel his sraksus of kedusha harba yosim asher ad ata, much more than ever till now. The gam bechirosha beitzoncha tuchal yosel laerirecha bisraksus, and you'll be able to know when you want to, when you have some time, you'll be able to be ma'ir yourself to have his sraksus. You'll be able to choose that to want to have his sraksus. Your thoughts become pure. And your thoughts becoming so pure and so strong will reach the point that even your body will be able to be purified and uplifted from this. Even the great avoda of the tzaddikim and chassidim and avodas hamachshava, you'll be able to a little bit, even despite your smallness, you'll be able to taste of what that is. And you'll reach the madregas of a true chassid and bali nefesh. Avarak negihi, but it doesn't mean you're going to reach that highest madrega, but in negihi, that you're able to at least touch, to be connected to them, to that level of the avoid of the tzaddikim and the chassidim. K'mo yishamana bereishis devarenu shavakis ikvei darchei kodshim reitzim anu al kol panim lahakir. As the Rebbe said, I said from the beginning, that we're trying to recognize and trying to connect and to touch just the very, very end, the bottom of the holy ways. And to go in those ways. This avak raglei kodshim levloya, and to try to absorb the dust of the feet of the tzaddikim. Vaz harei sifrei kodshim suchim lefaneinu, and then we can look into the svar makadoshim. Vehem nege vehem neilech, and it won't be just some nice ideas and nice vertlech, but behem negev, behem neilech, we can live that way to actually feel some of the things that the Svar HaKadoshim are talking about. Neshev nefesh gluya nira b'divei kodshem yoysim esherinu adkai. Because when a person's nefesh, when a person's soul is in the state of his galus, which is the tachlis of all this avoida, when a person's nefesh becomes a little bit uncovered, when the person's nefesh becomes a little bit uncovered, that's what I was thinking that we say during Hanukkah, we say extra every morning, we say the Mizmor Shir and Kasabai Sadavid, right? And we also say this, some have a minute to say about after candle lighting also. So there was a pasuk that I was thinking about last night over there. Pitachta saki v'te'azreni simcha. Pitachta saki v'te'azreni. You opened up my sackcloth and you strengthened me with joy. Pitachta saki v'te'azreni simcha. And that's the whole thing of Chanukah. What does it mean? Pitachta saki v'te'azreni simcha. The body of a person, the guf, is like a sackcloth that covers up the nefesh. And the reason that we can't experience simcha, it's not because we don't have inside of us so much simcha, and we don't have so many things to be grateful for, and so many things to be happy about in our lives. There's so much that we could be happy about and grateful for. The problem is that the sackcloth of life, you know, of the body and of physical existence, is covering up that nekuda inside of us that has so much joy. So on Chanukah. On Chanukah, when there was Rabban Biyad Ma'atim and Tamei Biyad Tahirim, where the nefesh was able to be mezgaber on the guf, so on Chanukah we ask Hashem, "Pitach tezaki, Rabbi Hashem, open up the sackcloth, just open up my body, open up that physical encasement that holds me back from having any simcha, from having any joy in my life." And any simcha, I was talking to somebody yesterday who has beautiful children, has beautiful, beautiful, wonderful family, parents, and he has a terrific job, and there's no simcha, And pitachta saki, they ask Hashem, open up. What does it mean saki? He's walking around in a sackcloth. I don't even know what that looks like. Pitachta saki means life itself is a sackcloth, and a person feels that that there's something that could be, and he's waiting his whole life to feel some simcha, but the nefesh is not. Is not gluya. The nefesh remains covered inside the sackcloth of all of the inyanim in this world. Only when a person's sackcloth is open, pitach desaki, then there can be the te'azreini simcha, then the person is strengthened with simcha. So the Rebbe is saying that then they should the nefesh gluya. When a person's nefesh, when a person's soul is gluya, is opened and is revealed. It's not wrapped up and covered and closed up in the sack. When the nefesh is gluya, near b'divrei kodshim yoyis misherinu ad kai. Then when you learn the Sfarim HaKadoshim, you actually feel something inside of yourself. Otherwise, you know, you could learn every single Torah on Chanukah, and you could learn all the kedushas of the kedushas levi. And you can learn all the Rabbei Blaegas and all the beautiful Chanukahs, the most beautiful Torahs on earth are all Chanukah Torahs, the most beautiful Torahs. And they're all talking about the Pnimius and there's galus of the Pach Shemin inside of a person, Pach Nishba, Vanachnim, Lotnu, and the Kuda of Kedusha inside, and all the Psukim you read. Yeah, all the Torahs, you can read in every single sefer, you're opening up every sefer, and all the Torahs are all one thing. Or. Iris. Everything is light. But whenever you read while you're reading them, all you feel is chayshah. And you could say over the Torah about the light of Chanukah. And everybody says, wow, that's a beautiful Torah. And it is. But inside of yourself, it's chayshah zu yavin mamish. It's the darkness of yavin. And all the Torahs that you're talking about or and about light, are just minhapeh, are just things that you're saying, and things that you talk about that sound like it would be very, very nice, and how the light of Chanukah goes down to the lowest place, and it's not like, you know, Shabbos is different. Not everybody, the Maranim says, not everybody could the Shabbos. But when it comes to Chanukah, even the lowest Jew is a shaychus to Chanukah, and the or of Chanukah goes down the matam asar tefachim and can lift the person. And you're saying all these things, and you're wondering, when is that going to happen to you? When does that happen to us? When do we feel those things? And to go like that, and then to figure, well, this is Chanukah, but by Purim, for sure, by Purim, you know, a person has a little bit to drink, and then Mishnechnas Yai, so then there's going to be a person who goes, well, maybe not Purim, but Pesach could be very good, and so on, and a whole life like that. But if a person's nefesh is not gluya, so then whatever you look at in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, even though it's beautiful and it's poetic and it's also interesting and everything, and it excites the mind, but to feel, to actually, to look at it, one of the Svarma Kedoshim, and to learn it and to connect to it, because it's something that you can relate to, that happens inside of you, and that something is awakened as a result of looking at this and the Svarma Kedoshim. So the Rebbe says that's what we were talking about earlier, the difference between learning one of the Svarma Kedoshim with a nefesh stuma, with the soul locked up inside under the sackcloth of life, or learning the Torah of the Tzaddikim in a state of pitachtasaki, when it's opened, and to be able to learn it in such a way, to learn the swarm, to see the swarm in such a way. And if it's a nefesh guluya, then near b'divrei kodshim yais misharinu ad kai. Then we'll see in their words so much more than we've ever seen, in their holy words so much more than we've ever seen until now. Ubechlal b'nafshenu agluya, afilam rak ma'at tisgala. When the nefesh is gluya, when the nefesh is revealed, afilam rak ma'at tisgala. Even if only a little bit, ma'at tisgala. Even if only a little bit is misgala. Kvar habaseinu uriya seinu acheres tia, a whole way of looking, a whole way of seeing things, a whole way of looking at things is already different. It's already completely different. If it's a nefesh gluya. The Torah shebichsav v'shebal peh nires ha'shelo rinu adata. We'll see in Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh things that we never ever saw. As a shilarino anata, things that we never saw until now. Things that we never saw. That's why that's why we spoke about them. You see that tzaddikim are able to take just a pasuk, and they're able to get so excited about a pasuk or about a vart, about something which no professor in the Judaic studies program of that firm university would ever write his thesis on that in, you know, that pasuk. It's plain, but you see a tzaddik, when he takes a pasuk and he learns the pasuk with nefesh gluya, he sees the pasuk in such a way. When the tzaddikim set out the Torah, so sometimes you look at a Torah and you say, what is this? It looks like it's so crushed, or what's he saying over here? What is it? That was the chiddush over here, looking for something new. The way that a person reads a novel and he's looking for some interesting story, so he looks in the Torah, he's looking for some interesting, you know. But because he's looking at it with a nefesh stuma, with a nefesh is locked up inside, so when he looks at this pasuk, or he looks at this chazal, or he looks at this thing from the svar, it says he doesn't see what it does. It's not so interesting. It's not so fascinating. But when a person's nefesh is a gluya, then his whole way of looking at Torah Shabbat Seven, Torah Shabbat Peh, is different. And you begin to see things. You begin to see things that you didn't see until now. B'sifrei Kabbalah Chassidus, Nires Asher Lo Ra'ino. When you look at the swarm, you see things that you never saw before. The same vart, the same Torah, the same pasuk, the same Maamar Chazal. You know, when you look at one of the Svarma Kedoshim, you see that the tzaddik took a Maamar Chazal that you've seen, you know, like you've seen a thousand times, that Maamar Chazal. You know, Ezer Giba Akavish Yitzur. Right, so from the parak and mission and from Pirkei Avos, so Ezer Giba Kavish Yitzur. And you look and you say, okay, you know, since you're in third grade and they had the signs from Torah Mesorah, you know, with the barbells on it, Ezer Giba Kavish Yitzur. You grew up with those things, and you heard it a thousand times that you'd be strong. The strongest person is somebody who's Kavish Yitzur. Then you see in the Svarma Kedoshim, you see that one of the tzaddikim talks about the pasuk Ezor Giba, that Mishnah Ezor Giba Akarvish Yitzra, and he says things, and you look at that and you say, boy, I'm looking at that sentence since I'm a little kid. I never ever would have thought of that. And it's not because he quotes from 20 different places, because that's not a time. You don't know those other places he's quoting from. You didn't learn. He's a big Talmud Chacham. You don't know them. It's not that. It's that there's a certain insight that he has in that same sentence, without quoting, just to take that, and to see in it something which is, which you wonder, how come I never thought of that? Why didn't I think of that? Because the nefesh is not gluey. The tzaddik lives with his nefesh being gluey, and the soul sees things in a way that the body that the body doesn't allow it to see when the soul is covered. But when it's a nefesh gluey, you look at things in such a sensitive way. You become sensitive to every tiny little nuance and any tiny little beat, pulse. Of something that's big kedusha, and a person to take his sayers from the simplest pasuk, or the simplest chazal, or from the Mishnah. There's this interesting sefer that he had put out a few weeks ago, and somebody brought me from Eretz Yisrael the sefer, very very interesting sefer. So it goes from Shulchan Aruch from Siman Aleph till Siman Reish Mem Aleph. In Erechaim, from Aleph to Reish Mem Aleph, it's a sefer. It's called Pnimius Ahaloch, and he goes through Shulchan Aruch. Not every single seif in those simonim, but a lot. It's around 600 pages, the sefer, and he talks about halachas. He goes through like Rabbi Nosson did, look at the halachas, and he quotes a lot of Rabbi Nosson too. But it's not just Rabbi Nosson. Shem Yishmuels and Sfasamises and Tanyas and Epsodics and Rabbi Nachmanides, and he quotes the Musa Svarim. It's a very very choshev a sefer. So when I got this sefer, I thought the topic was like a vote, but that's an interesting thing the person wants to do. Let me take a look at this. So I open up, of course, the first place I open up. I want to see, what does this guy do with the halachas of the bathroom? Now, right when you start up Shulchan Aruch, after the very romantic beginning, it gets right down to the nitty gritty. And if you ever are learning with a Baal Teshuva, don't tell him to learn Shulchan Aruch Keseder, because he'll get stuck in the Beis HaKisa. because he'll be so shocked and disturbed by how much halacha focuses on, like every single, I'm not going to go into it, but every single prat of that world of the Beis HaKisa, before there was a real Beis HaKisa also, which makes it particularly horrible, right? So this guy sets out, with this claim that he's going to talk about the Pnimius Halacha. So let me see what he does. Let's see how he handles that. So I opened up the list, and I was looking at that, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful how a person can take the smelliest, ugliest, dirtiest part of life, and to take away all of the ugliness, and to show what it means, and to talk about it, and to bring from this place and that place, and it wasn't just that he was quoting. He has good eyes to see good in every single halacha and what it's talking about. And again, I mean, it was no great chidushim. I mean, I looked at around 20 pages of it last night. There was nothing like that. You didn't hear of, but you wouldn't have put it in. You wouldn't have placed it in that spot in Shulchan Aruch. You wouldn't have made the connection to that place in Shulchan Aruch. And then when you look at it, you say, that's really true. That's very good. I didn't think of that. That's very good. That's when a person writes a sefer like that. When a person, it's not just a matter of seichel. It's a matter of a person sitting down. I mean, I don't know who he is. I never heard of him. But the nefesh gluya, and to look at things not like they say by the Goyim, with an open mind, but we say with a nefesh gluya, the Rebbe is saying, with the soul being exposed and revealed, then a person's entire way of looking at things that happen. You look, the whole world is a Torah. The whole world is the Torah. So there's a person who looks at the world and he sees nothing. There's nothing gewalding. Another person looks at the world and everything's a Torah that he sees in the world. Because it all depends how you look at things. That's what he says. Is nearest a shalei reino adat. The Sifrei Kabbalah says, nearest a shalei reino, to see things that we never saw. Af ba'olam hazeh. Af ba'olam hazeh. As a shahaya ne'elam mi'itano nira. Even the ilam, which the Rebbe is going to talk about a little bit now also. The things that we see in the world. Things that were hidden from us. You remember the unforgettable tzaddik who is in America all of these years, but wasn't as appreciated as he should have been, like all precious things. There's Rabbi Avigdor Miller. Rabbi Avigdor Miller was a fiery, fiery, honest Jew. You know what I'm talking about. Rabbi Avigdor Miller. So then it was hard for me to listen to him more than I tried a few times to listen to tapes. It was hard for me to listen to that. I tried. It was hard to listen. You have to, there's a certain shidduch that has to be between people listening to certain things. But I read many things that he wrote, and I was always mispoil ad hayom. And I was just looking at the other day. They put out some of his ksavim, his mamorim, shari oira. There's a second chiluk, and I was looking at it. He spoke a lot about how to look at the simple things in life and to appreciate them, and to appreciate, you know, what Hashem does through the simple things in life. And I remember, you know, I was younger, and somebody gave me for a present. Somebody gave for a present two of his books, and in English, I think one of them is English. And there was, and they gave me to look at that. And I was reading that when I was younger. I was like by mitzvah, and I was looking at it, and it was descriptions of different things and that old type of that old style. And I said, well, you know what is this? It's not so interesting. If I want to read about the world, I could look in a science textbook. I don't have to read from some rabbi. And you know, that is another one of those things that you put someplace in the back, and it collects dust for many, many years. And then recently I was looking at, I started looking a little bit at this Shari Ayur and some of the things that he wrote. I don't know what that English one is. It's, I don't know, maybe it's by my parents. But I was looking at the Shari Ayur and it's such a special, it's so special. It's so special. It's very simple, but that's what's beautiful about it. The way that he looked at everything, at the hand, he was so nispoiled from how the fingers work. And it's true that if you open up a science book, it'll describe to you how the hand works. But when you have a tzaddik that's so excited about it and has such a hisrakshus, and he's so thrilled with what Hashem did for him. It's very, very inspiring thing. And I understand how people, you know, he had Hasidim, and I used to think, how could you listen to all this thing? You know, how you listen? It's not true. It was just my stupidity and smallness, which I still am. But I guess over the years, you hopefully get a little bit past some of the immaturity, and you see that there was nothing lacking in brilliance in the person. He had a nefesh galuyah, and he looked at the world with such childlike eyes in such an innocent and beautiful way, and he was so excited about the world. He wasn't talking like some scientist that's trying to impress a person with his knowledge of the body or something. He was like on fire with the Baruch Shalom's Bria. And if you look at it, if you learn it again when you're older, and you go through it, it's really exciting. You know, it's exciting. You know, there's no chidushim there. There's nothing like, you know. But it's just exciting to do that. But when the nefesh is a nefesh stuma, when the nefesh is closed, you could be sitting on a bench at the top of, you know, Mount Rushmore or something, and staring in the face of the president and whatever it is. Well, if you're on the place, you can't see them. But across from Mount Rushmore, and you're looking at that, which is, I was never there, but it looks like a chush of a thing in all the pictures. You could be staring at that, and you're not in a spell from it. It's nothing special. You spend money, you go on some unbelievable trip someplace, and you're not in a spell from it. You're not in a spell because the nefesh is not gluya. The nefesh is that's what for everything in life we have to ask Hashem pitach the sak. Marshall, I'm begging you, open up the sackcloth. And the mele, the te'azreini simcha, then I'll be strengthened with so much simcha. If everything in the world has a sackcloth on it, not just us. Everything in the world has a sackcloth. And when you untie that, and you look, and then you see. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller was talking about, you know, how beautiful an orange is. Okay, how much can you talk about an orange? So he could go on for 4 pages about an orange. By the time he's finished talking, someone's taken it away already. It's gone, you know. He's talking about an orange for 4 pages. It wasn't like he was sitting down and thinking like scientifically to try to make some interesting thing. He was like a kid. He had such a nefesh gluya, so that when he looked at the orange, it really is amazing. He has like this little
section and it's the way it's put together and how each one is like this delicious, juicy little thing, and the way he's describing it. But if you're looking for something to say over at the Shabbos table, or you know, at a Sheva Brachas, or you know, you have to say you have to say some shetel or something, or so then you look at it, you say, how much can you talk about an orange? Because by us, the orange has a sackcloth over it. So, Mela, you look at the oranges. But when he looked at the orange, it was pitachasaki. So he saw, like, what's he saw how beautiful it is and what's there. And I had to look at people that way, and to look at friends that way, and to look at family that way, not everything to be covered. When a person has a nefesh guluya, and then he's able to look at things that he, and he's able to see the same things that he never saw in the past. Kinoide Shabal Shantav Oma Bekotcha. The Baal Shem Tov said, "Kshata Mabit Al Ha'olam." The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that when you look at the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mabit Alacha. When you look at the world, then the Baruch Shalom is looking at you. "Kshata Mabit Al Ha'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mabit Alacha." Va'ata Al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're looking at the world, the Baruch Shalom is looking back at you, and you're looking at a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Baal Shem Tov said it's an interesting thing. So l'kol ish mitonu zanir kedavah sheyev shalol gamli. When we hear this in the Baal Shem Tov, we say, "Well, it's not possible. What do you mean? I'm looking at the world. I'm looking at a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking at me, and I'm just looking at an orange, right? I'm looking at." Am I looking at? So the Rebbe says, you see, that we don't realize, but we don't understand. Kevin Shaloi al ha, next page, Kuf Lamed Beis. Kevin Shaloi al habata b'seichel kivim kach. The Baal Shem HaKadosh wasn't talking about thinking about the world, or looking at the world through the intellect. Lai habata b'seichel kivim kach. This is what all the Sfarim of the Bilvavi Mishkanev are not talking about. All the Sfarim of the Bilvavi Mishkanev. That you look at the world and you know intellectually that Hashem is the creator, that you see God, meaning that you understand in your head that Hashem created this thing. That's not what the Baal Shem Tov was talking about, that when you look at the world you see the Baal Shem Tov. That's not what he was talking about. Ki ein zois re'iyah. That's not called looking. Rak Havana, it's only called understanding, it's intellectual. That's not called looking at something. It's called understanding something, thinking about something, not called seeing something. The entire tachlis of the Baal Shem Tov in this world and of this whole sefer is to see, not just to think.
Rabbi, is that the point? Ish ba'ar lo yeda, uchsil lo yavin etzos. So the chsil, he looks at it, but he doesn't understand that there's God behind it.
He doesn't understand. I mean, the Rebbe is saying is even more than that. Even if he does understand, but he doesn't see it. He doesn't see it. Einayim lahem v'layiru. He doesn't see it. He might understand something, and again, he can write a paper on it. But he doesn't see it.
Once again, in medicine, the most famous German pathologist once said, "I did 1,000 autopsies. I never found one soul." No one wrote about pathology what he wrote. He brought us 100 years ahead in an
act. Was a Jewish person?
No, it was German. I think to write something like that, you have to be German. To do 1,000 autopsies, I never found one. So clearly, he understood more than anyone before him, and maybe more than anyone
about the body.
But he couldn't. He didn't see.
Ksil lo yavin. He's still a fool.
Ksil lo yavin. That's the Havana. He didn't understand. Yes, he could explain everything. But he was a chassil.
That's a chosh of a thing. That's a chosh of a word. 1,000 autopsies, he didn't find one soul. A chassil, a shayta. If he didn't have to look at any dead body to find a soul. If he would have looked at it himself a little bit more, he would have found it. He's a...
this is what they're saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah. He said, "Loi ba'shem hu ma'abed, rak ba'ha'olam." the person's only using the intellect, the seichel, so then he's not looking, and then he looks at the world. He might understand that there's a God, the creator of the world, but he doesn't see God in the world. The Baal Shem Tov was talking about seeing. He knows in his head that Hashem created the world. He runs the world. He's also he's here. But he's totally hidden from you. You don't see him. And all you see in front of you is just some trees and mountains. That's it. Or the orange. Oh, the Baal Shem HaKadosh was talking about a higher way of looking at things. He was talking about seeing things in a higher way, that you're able to look at the world and see things beyond the physical world. And that's what he meant when you look at God. You look at the world, you look at God. And you feel God looking at you. This is what the tzaddikim are talking about when you look at this svar. But for us, we feel that it's something which is impossible. The Rebbe is going to talk about how it's not impossible, and we could try. And that's the meaning that it says in the Slanim Asvarim. Su'um Meroim Enechem, the Rebbe says, lift your eyes up, Su'um Meroim Enechem, lift your eyes up to heaven. And look, Mi Bara Ela, who created all of this. It says in the Slanim Asvarim, Su'um Meroim Enechem, make your eyes more himmeldik. That a person can take, sum doesn't mean just to look up, because you can look up and you can see and it doesn't make a difference to you. Look down, you look up, it doesn't change anything. The point is, sum merayim enechem, to take your eyes and to make your eyes more himmeldik, more heavenly eyes, to be able to see. Then you don't have to go on some grand tour, you know, and see some amazing sights to feel Hashem. If you have eyes like Rabbi Victor Miller's, those kind of eyes, then you can get you have an orange, or you could be in your own house. Doesn't have to be any dramatic thing. The point is that the eyes have to be lifted up. Lift your eyes up to heaven. It doesn't mean just to look. What's in heaven? God's there more than here. So a person looks up to heaven to find God. What does it mean? God's over there more than here? No, it means that you have to lift your eyes up to heaven. You have to have himmeldike augen. And then wherever you look, when you look with an nefesh gluya, then you'll see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if you don't have those kind of eyes, even if you're standing on top of Mount Everest, there's no Baruch Shalom over there. It's nice, but you don't see anything. You don't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we better have to dive.